and the U.S. and on every continent except for Antarctica. I don't think that's a continent, actually. It's just something down there. Young Life has been in Canada for 60 years. This is the 60th anniversary. And it actually started in New Westminster in 1954 when a teacher from New West Secondary, who also went to the United Church, took a group of kids from New West Secondary to Malibu. And then Young Life, we started the mission back here after they came home from camp. And they started hanging out with teenagers and just having these clubs. So 60 years of Young Life in New Westminster and in Canada. But I'll tell you more about Young Life later. I don't want to focus my whole time up here on talking about the ins and outs and methods of Young Life, although I do think they are very exciting. I want to talk about Jesus this morning. I will tell you the one thing about Young Life, though, before I get started, is that we do focus on Jesus, and that's our whole thing. Other than being where kids are at, we focus on Jesus, and we focus on presenting him clearly to kids who don't know him. So, this morning I'm going to talk about Jesus and about lost things. Things that are lost. Jesus shares quite a number of parables and stories about lost things. And for me, the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost sheep come to mind. Just take a second now to think about a time when you lost something that was important to you. I'm just going to stop now, and you can think about it. When was the time you lost something? I spent some time thinking about when I lost something and what that was like. And I had this story about how I lost my teddy bear, and that was actually really traumatic to me, but it wasn't a very good story to tell. So I have this other story, which isn't that personal to me, but it will help you to understand this idea of things being lost. And it was a time when my 2-year-old brother was lost. I was 10, so I don't really remember it or care that much, but it was a traumatic thing for my family. So I was 10, and we were camping near Drumheller. We were with another family, and they also had 3 children. So there was a lot of kids running around, and it'd be easy to not notice when someone went missing. We'd all been swimming in the river that was right next to our campsite, and reading and snacking and doing various things and going around. When my parents realized that Carl, who was 2 at the time, was missing. So we all got up, and we were just looking everywhere, looking in the tents, in the cars, and in the river, and then we went back again and looked back in the cars and looked back in the tents, and we were calling him, calling his name, running all over the place, going into the neighbor's campsite. The camp manager of the site was there, and he was helping. And, we were just looking and looking, and my mom was starting to panic. I wasn't starting to panic. I don't really even remember this. My mom just told me this story, like I said. But we finally found him in the car. We had looked there several times, but he was under the seat of the car, and he might have been sleeping, he might have been hiding, don't know what he was doing, but we were really glad we found him. Don't know what he was doing into the car, under the seat of the car. The point is, from the moment we realized that he was lost, we did not stop looking for him until he was found. When you lose something, especially a child, you look. Except for me. When I have a child, I'll understand more. You kick into high gear, and you get other people to help you look. Kids are always getting lost in malls and similar places like that, fairs and things like that. And we teach kids, before they get lost, we teach them, if you do happen to get lost, just stay put, and we'll come find you. Just stay put, we'll come find you. What parent, upon losing their child in a mall, would say, oh, I'll just go to the parkade and sit in my car. I'll just wait for them to show up. They'll get there somehow. Or I'll just stand by the main entrance, and they'll find me. No parent would do that. It's because it doesn't make sense. When we lose something valuable, we don't just wait for it to come back or show up, like the lost coin. Even if it's not someone or something that we love, we still look. We look because if we don't, it'll certainly be lost irretrievably. Things that are lost cannot find themselves. They're not just going to make their way back on their own. Zacchaeus was a lost person, and God acted like a parent. Let's read Luke 19, 1 to 10 together, and it'll come up there. Good. And you can follow along. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house tonight, today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus, many of you know this already, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Zacchaeus was a Jew who for some reason chose to work for the Romans as a tax collector. The Jews were a conquered people. When Romans conquered a land and its people, they allowed them to keep their culture as long as they acknowledged Caesar as king and paid their taxes to him. The Romans would hire one of the conquered people, in this case a Jew, to collect taxes from their own people. Tax collectors went around demanding any sum of money they wanted. It wasn't set. They could just go to people's doors and demand any sum they wanted. They'd send what was required to Rome and keep the rest for themselves. Not surprisingly, tax collectors were hated and completely ostracized from their people. They were considered traitors. I wonder how Zacchaeus got himself into this situation. Why would he become a tax collector? He did make tons of money, so that might have been something that drew him to tax collection, but it didn't seem like a very fulfilling life. Maybe he had an unstable childhood and craved security. Maybe he was ignored and he needed to feel important. A position of power and a big paycheck might give him some security. I think we actually all crave security. We all want to know that we're special and important to someone. We need those things. The reason we all need those things is because that's how we were made. We were made for a relationship with God. Somehow, we pursued life, security, validation, and importance in the wrong way. We have all looked for life outside of a relationship with God. And if we're meant for life with a relationship, in a relationship with God, no wonder a high-paying job and a lot of money doesn't cut it. So Zacchaeus was just looking for life. He was doing what he was made to do. He was just pursuing life and happiness the best way he could figure out. He got lost the same way we all get lost, one choice at a time in the pursuit of life and fulfillment. The Bible talks a lot about sheep in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and I know most of us are not too familiar with the habits of sheep. But I can imagine how a sheep might get lost. They just eat grass. I think that's what they eat. One clump, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And then all of a sudden they look up, and the rest of the herd is nowhere in sight. It's not really the sheep's fault. It was just hungry and doing what it was supposed to do. Whatever the case, it can't make it back to the herd on its own. It needs a shepherd to come get it. So that's where Zacchaeus is. He's got himself lost. And back to the story. Jesus is coming through town, and Zacchaeus wants to see him. He's heard about him, and he's interested. There are crowds lining the street, and no one will let him through to see. And he's short, so he can't just stand at the back. So he runs ahead and climbs a sycamore fig tree. And this is a picture of a sycamore tree. And I always, when I read this before, I just imagined like a tree with no leaves on it at all. Just like a stick that he would kind of climb up and perch on. But when I looked this up, I realized that it's very leafy. So here's what I picture. Imagine all this. Zacchaeus in the tree, watching as Jesus gets closer and closer. There's a parade, the streets are lined. Jesus is surrounded by lots of disciples and followers. And then there's this large tree up ahead. That's it. That's the whole scene. Zacchaeus probably wouldn't have been visible. How would you see him in there? It's like, he wouldn't have been visible. You wouldn't just see him from afar. He was hiding in that tree. Jesus stops when he gets to the tree and calls to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. I must eat at your house tonight. I want to come over to your house. I want to be your friend. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He had to have been looking for him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have seen him in the tree. Jesus was looking for him. He wouldn't have just casually noticed him. He had to have been looking for him. Zacchaeus was one of God's precious children. And Jesus came to look for him, to find him and to bring him home. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. God chose to become a man so that he could come be among us and so he could lead us back home. And we know from all the other stories of Jesus that he really did spend his life with people, all kinds of people. He didn't just stay in the synagogue and expect people to come and hear about, you know, what he was talking about. He lived life with people out wherever they happened to be. We were lost, and we got ourselves lost by our own fault, by pursuing life where there was no life. And God knew that we could not figure out how to get back. Even if we could figure it out, we still needed his grace. And God was more than gracious. He came to us and made friends with us. Jesus ate with sinners. Eating a meal with someone was the sign of friendship. And he ate a meal with Zacchaeus at Zacchaeus' house. What happens to Zacchaeus after Jesus finds him? His life changes completely. His life is transformed. Think of this guy. Money is everything to him. And it always has been. Money has always been the most important thing to Zacchaeus. And then he just gives it all away. It says he gave away half, but then he paid back four times the amount he ripped people off. Which sounds like he ripped people off a lot of money. So four times the amount, that would be a lot of money. Maybe that would be all his money. He gave it all away. Why did he do that? Because he finally understood that life and security come from God. Before his encounter with Jesus, he knew that he didn't deserve God's love or deserve to be in God's family. He knew that. What he didn't know was that he still mattered to God. He mattered to God anyways. And he would have never figured that out if Jesus didn't look for him and stop for him. I don't think he would have figured it out. He would have just kept on being a tax collector. Young Life is a mission to teenagers who don't know anything about Jesus. There are so many kids out there who have no idea what God is like. They think that God is angry with them. They think that he's distant. They think that he's trying to hold them back from life and life to the full. Teenagers are looking for life because that's what they were made for. That's what we were all made for. They're trying to find out what their life is for, and they're trying to find out if they matter. In their pursuit of life, they get lost, and once they're lost, they don't make their way back very easily, at least not back to God. I think it is probably a rare case that a teenager, or anyone of any age for that matter, just wakes up one day and suddenly understands that God loves them dearly and joyfully enters God's church and family. We don't just figure that out. That doesn't just pop into our head. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Then he gave the apostles and his church the commission to make disciples of all nations. How are we supposed to do that? We seek them, find them, eat dinner with them at their house, and then we might get a chance to tell them about the life and the person that they've been looking for all along. Young Life leaders do that with a specific part of the population. Although it's exciting, in the States, they have Young Life is much bigger, and they don't just reach out to teenagers in one place. They reach out, they have teen moms, they do Young Lives, they do this thing called Capernaum for kids with disabilities. They have college something or other, and they do it with college students. So Young Life leaders in Canada do this with a specific part of the population. We go find them. They go in Christ's stead to meet teenagers wherever they happen to be. They build real friendships, and they get to bring Christ to kids. Eventually, when they've earned the right, they can tell them about Jesus. Or maybe they come to club and they find out, okay, this is a place where I belong. And they sit on the floor and they hear a friend share the gospel in a way that they can understand. Christ's love makes sense to them because they've experienced it from their friends and from a leader who's left their comfort zone and come to them. And if it's not for them, that's just fine. We keep loving them. The relationship doesn't end. We don't just say, okay, well, whatever about you. We stay with those kids. And the great thing is, we are all called to do this. God chose to include us in his ministry of reconciliation. And also good news, we don't even need a structure like Young Life to do it. We get to make a difference that matters for eternity. And we all have the ability to do that for people. That's amazing. That is really, really exciting that we get to be part of that. In the church, we all have different gifts, but we are all equipped to love people. And through that, to help them understand that God loves them and God has a place for them. There are a lot of people in New Westminster who don't know that God is looking for them. People who don't know that they matter to God. Lost people. And I don't think they're just going to figure it out. I don't think they're just going to realize that God is looking for them. I also think it's unlikely that they will show up in droves at Olivet, or any other church, for that matter. Someone needs to go out and find each and every one of them. And it's quite easy. It's also very difficult, because you do face rejection, but it's not a difficult concept. All we have to do is have compassion because they are lost, and go and just be present. Go care and go. So I'd like to challenge all of us to ask God who he wants us to notice. There's people in our lives that maybe we pass by all the time, and God is waiting for us to notice them. And be just a little bit interested in them. So, yeah, who are you going to care for? Who are you going to notice? And let me pray. Father, thank you for coming to find us when we were lost. And thank you for your grace in helping us to understand that you do truly love us. And you have a place for us. Help us to have your vision for people around us. Help us to know that they're lost and they're just wondering if they matter. Give us the ability to communicate that they do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.